Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
James Duke Mason is an American writer, advocate, and commentator. He is the only child of singer Belinda Carlisle and film producer, former White House official Morgan Mason, and he is also the only grandchild of the late British actor James Mason and his wife, media personality Pamela Mason. James is openly gay and came out to his family and friends at the age of 14 in 2006. After graduating from high school, he studied political science at California Lutheran University. After a year, he moved to West Hollywood, California to pursue his passion for grassroots advocacy. The Advocate listed James as one of the most influential young LGBT Americans in their 40 under 40 issue. He was also named in Out Magazine's 2011 Out 100 issue as one of the 100 most influential LGBT people in the world. He has appeared on television shows such as Dr. Phil, Nancy Grace, and Politicking with Larry King to discuss LGBTQ issues. He served as an official surrogate for the campaigns of Barack Obama in the 2012 U.S. presidential election and Hillary Clinton in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. He served on the board of directors of Outfest from January 2012 to January 2015, making him the youngest board member in the organization's history. He was a candidate for the West Hollywood City Council in the March 3, 2015 election, and he was subsequently appointed by Mayor Lindsay Horvath to her newly created 21st Century Leaders Task Force. From October 2015 to November 2020, he served on the West Hollywood LGBTQ+ Advisory Board, where he also served as co-chair from 2017 to 2018. He once again ran for West Hollywood City Council in March 5, 2019 election, which he placed fifth in a crowded field of 11 candidates. For more than a decade, he has been a freelance writer for various major publications, including The Huffington Post, The Advocate, Out Magazine, The Hollywood Reporter, Queerty, Billboard, and the LGBTQ Nation. Since March 2020, he has hosted an interview series on his Instagram account called Duke's Download, where he has talked to celebrities and politicians. In 2022, he was named a special advisor to Rick Caruso's campaign for mayor of Los Angeles, with an emphasis on the LGBTQ plus community. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got James Duke Mason. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm doing good. A little sore throat, so my apologies if I sound a little hoarse at some points. But other than that, things are good. I'm here in Los Angeles, California. So it's a little cloudy today, but doing pretty well.
But you guys are moving into, are you in spring at the moment, hey?
Yes, we are. Spring, yeah. Almost summer. Summer's my favorite time of year, so we're almost there. But it's not too bad in the meantime. Usually burns off about halfway through the day, and then we get some sun. So.
Yeah. So you're in LA. So I've been to LA. I mean, the weather's not doesn't get. I've been there in December when it's your winter, and it's not the weather's not so bad, isn't it? It's quite warm and comfortable.
Oh yeah. No, I always tell people, you know. You know, if I don't know, I mean, obviously, I'm not, you know, New York is amazing, as is San Francisco. I mean, there are a lot of amazing places in the U.S. However, for me, the only place that I really think I would want to live would be L.A. or, you know, in the Southern California area. Because, I love New York, but there, the summers are like super, super hot and super humid. The winters are like freezing cold. So LA, at least, like anytime, and I admit, you know, I complain when the weather gets, you know, when it drops to, do you guys use Celsius over there or Fahrenheit?
Celsius, yeah.
Celsius, okay. Yeah, I lived in France as a kid, so I used to use Celsius as well. Okay. But, you know, like here, when it gets down to like 10 degrees Celsius, it's like, I you know there's some rain or clouds, I go like, oh, this is so awful. But, you know, but then I have to remind myself, wait a second, in New York right now, it's pretty damn cold. So there isn't really an excuse to complain too much.
Well, I think Johannesburg is quite similar. Well, I mean, there's no beach here. It's not by the sea, but it's quite similar to LA in the sense of the temperature. It's dry. It's drier weather. It's not humid. And I mean, our winter is around like 10, 15 degrees.
I mean, I have to say, I went to Johannesburg, in South Africa when I was a teenager, and it's one of the most amazing but beautiful places, and I had one of the best times of my life. I actually toured the country with my mother, when she was touring there. I think it was 2005. Sadly, I've been back since, but I had the most amazing time, and it's a beautiful place and amazing people. So I hope to return one day soon.
Yes, I actually saw your mom in concert when she was here in 2005, and it was like,
No
I
way.
was there. Yes.
I was probably there. I mean, I was probably must have been at that show. So
Yeah.
crazy. Crazy that that's 19 years ago is what's
Absolutely.
insane.
Like time,
That blows my mind.
in some ways it feels like a year, a week, month ago. In another sense, it feels like 19 years. In another sense, it feels like 50 years. It's just the comprehension of time and how quickly it goes is just a crazy, absolutely crazy.
It is, but that trip had such an impact on me because I remember it, I mean, granted I was 13, so I would hope I'd remember, but I mean, I really, really remember vividly, the whole trip and going to Pretoria and Cape Town, Johannesburg. And I remember we went on safari as well
Yes.
during the same trip, and it was one of the most amazing experiences. So I really hope I get the chance to come back soon. It's weird because I
Absolutely.
know my mom has a big fan base there, but yet I guess, is that maybe the only time that she's toured there? Or maybe once, I think maybe there were one or two other tours, during the last 15, 20 years, but
Yeah. Okay, so now let's focus on you. I was reading your bio, and it's quite an interesting, diverse avenues that you've been involved in. Let's find out from the beginning, your journey. So, at what stage did you feel cool? You want to be a writer, you want to be sort of in this political space, and let's unpack your journey to where we are currently.
Absolutely. I mean, I was born in LA. However, because that's where my parents, most, my father's family, my mother's family lived. And, I was born here. But then when I was 2 years old, I actually moved to Europe, but I lived with my parents in France and in the UK for a few years. But I spent most of my life living in Europe. And I think that gave me a unique perspective because it's kind of weird. Like, I was born in America, but because I live most of my life abroad, I have a pretty unusual international perspective, I think. And I can understand, when you hear about immigrants, who move to America, want to move to America because, they kind of see, maybe not so much anymore because America has been through quite a turbulent period the last 10 or so years. But there was a time when I think a lot of people, from abroad would look at America and be like, oh my God, this is where I want to, live. And it's a place where anything is possible, blah, blah, blah. I always knew I wanted to come back here, when I was older. And, I would come back here a lot. My mother's a singer. So, obviously I was on tour with her a lot and coming to America as well as other countries around the world. But politics, in part because my father worked in politics. He was actually on the more conservative, I wouldn't say right wing, but more Republican here in the US, side of the spectrum, where he worked for Ronald Reagan in the White House. So I had this weird sort of, on the one hand, political awareness from him. And then I had my mother's more liberal progressive. She's a punk rocker at heart still. So, she's always been kind of a contrarian, more on the liberal progressive side. So it was this weird sort of melding of those two influences. And then being gay and coming out when I was 14 years old, that obviously informed my political awareness because, especially at that time, gay marriage was still, I think actually when I came out, South Africa was one of the first countries
Yeah.
that legalized same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
So I actually remember that from that year and reading about it in the news. And but especially back then, gay rights were still a very taboo, controversial. It wasn't really clear where that was going to go, whether we were going to see this sort of consistent progress towards equality. And obviously, even today, there's still a lot of places where it's very much up for up for, in terms of, whether it, which way it's going to go. So another long story short, I think those three influences, my father, my mother, and then being gay and realizing that politics was a means of making a difference on that issue. So, even though, I would say I'm pretty interested in politics on sort of a general, broad level. At least it started out as being, me sort of focusing my efforts as an advocate and activist on gay rights, because at the time, especially 10, 15 years ago, that was a cause that I felt really needed, some attention. So, but now, I've sort of broadened my view. Now, I run for office. I ran for office twice here in California. I write about politics, nationally and internationally. So, but at least initially, it was started as being sort of a focus on LGBTQ advocacy.
You've been sort of on the periphery of being in the entertainment world through the vision of your parents. And so, is there an overlap between the entertainment world and the political world as being part of both of it and seeing that from your perspective? And what is that overlap?
I think for sure there is, especially in America, where for better or worse, politics and entertainment are, very much melded together. There's lots of theatrics in politics. Obviously, Trump is sort of the personification of that. But yeah, I mean, for me, I think, and this is why, I've really focused on being, even though I'm not an actor, I do. I'm involved in media. I do a lot of video commentary. I interview. I have an Instagram series I did for a few years where I interviewed a lot of political figures and figures in pop culture. And then I also do video, like explainer videos, talking about breaking news and issues, which I do for this big political news website, Mediaite, here in the U.S. But I think, for me, I absolutely think that entertainment and media in general is a, I would say, being in entertainment, if you, let's say you're an actor or a singer or a media figure of any kind, using your influence and your platform to make a statement on issues that you care about, I think is really important, especially given how many important topics there are in the news right now. So for me, even on my very, relatively small level, I really, make an effort to use even my relatively small platform to speak out on issues I care about. I know my mother is a singer. She tries not to wade in on every debate because then you basically alienate everybody. But certainly on the issues that she cares about, she will, speak out. And I think it's important that people in entertainment use their voice wisely and, effectively. I'm not saying that every single celebrity has to be an activist, but I do think there is definitely overlap, in terms of, the platform that you build. And I think using it wisely versus those who don't use it wisely and either don't use it or use it for bad purposes. I think there's definitely a way, there's an overlap, and there's a way to do it right as opposed to doing it wrong, if that makes sense.
I hear you. And what's interesting, though, for me is that, we noticed that over periods of time, things that were okay to say certain things have now, in certain times now, are not okay.
Right,
So,
right.
what are your perceptions around? Let's jump it quickly. Say you are busy talking about one of these specific things or one of these things you're passionate about, and it's okay to focus on one element around it. But now, in 5 or 10 years' time, that specific topic or the way it's said is no longer okay. And now
Right.
there's this cancel culture. And now, oh,
Right.
you said this 6 years ago, now it means you need to be canceled. So what is your perceptions of the cancel culture and how things change that where things were okay, but now they aren't okay anymore because of certain instances and circumstances?
Well, it's weird because you're absolutely right. I mean, and I consider myself, which is part of why it's been sort of so vexing for me, is, I consider myself, pretty progressive and liberal on most issues, and on certainly when it comes to cultural issues. You know, obviously I'm for women's rights, I'm for gay rights, I'm for progress and and change in general. However, I definitely don't think that this trend of cancel culture is helpful. And I think actually, you know, be as somebody who cares so much about seeing progress and things move forward on these issues, I think it's actually pretty counterproductive. And I think, I know this is not sort of specific to entertainment, what I'm about to say, but I think it speaks to those in entertainment as well. I remember there's a famous comedian here in the US named Bill Maher who does a weekly show and he
Yes.
talks about politics. And he had this great segment where he talked about how in the US now, at least, you know, people, you know, progressive, a lot of young progressives are like, oh, you can't say pregnant, or you can't say woman, or when you're in the context of pregnancy, you have to say pregnant person. And because, you know, and again, I'm super pro-trans, but you know, transgender rights. But the idea that if somebody says, like abortion, for instance, is a women's rights issue as opposed to a pregnant person's issue. And if you tell people that makes it say that is being anti-trans or not inclusive of trans people, it's like, wait a second, like, you know, because there are, and again, I respect them, but because there are 10 people on the planet who are trans, who are getting pregnant and having a, it's like that if you don't include them in every time you mention that issue, what I'm trying to say is like, if you say that, you know, there are people in this country who are just now accepting the concept of gay marriage. So if they're just coming around to that, and then now you're saying you're talking about pregnant people versus women, you know, you're going to alienate a ton of people. What I think, and to bring it back to sort of the example you used of celebrities who say things, you know, that then get sort of re-examined later on in a different, you know, in the context of now versus the times in which they were said. I think you're going to alienate people. I mean, there are exceptions. Sure. I don't think you people should obviously use the N-word or, I mean, there are egregious examples, of course. I think the most important thing is to show people grace and give people the benefit of the doubt, you know, and I think that's important in entertainment as well. Like there are plenty, especially in entertainment, as musicians and actors and comedians, you know, a lot of them are going to say at one point, say things that might be meant to be funny or meant to be over the top for entertainment purposes. And they get sort of evaluated later on. And in the context that, you know, and by people who are trying to sort of cancel them or, you know, attack them. I think people sometimes use cancellation as a tool to destroy people as opposed to trying to make things better, because canceling someone's not going to make a positive difference on the issue you care about. It's just going to create controversy and ruin someone's reputation potentially.
Fascinated about this conversation and discussion. So, you know, this has become this new thing now of, so Bradley Cooper was in that Maestro movie, and there were a lot of, so I'm Jewish and I'm gay. So there are a lot of Jewish, there were a lot of Jewish people saying, how dare he portray a Jewish person? It should be a Jewish person. And then you gay, have gay people saying that straight people can't play, portray gay people, et cetera, et cetera. And I was actually in an opening night of a play, a one woman show about this woman who had breast cancer, who, you know, was a story of her losing a partner, et cetera, et cetera. And 20 to 30 minutes before the end of the show, someone in the audience who obviously had cancer before stood up and started screaming at her, saying, how dare she? Who the hell does she think she is that she's portraying a person who's had cancer? She's never. I was like, sure. It was like, you know, what are your thoughts around that? I mean, it's just, do you feel that that's stepping it too far? Or where's the line for you? For me, I think it's like everyone should portray who they want to portray, and then we should be putting restrictions onto people. What are your thoughts?
You know, it's really weird. I have very mixed feelings about it because I used to be firmly on the side. I'd say 10 years ago, I would have been firmly on the side of the people who say, you know, representation matters, you know, and, you know, if a gay, you know, in a context of a gay role, you know, because Hollywood has traditionally had so few opportunities for gay actors. I always thought, you know, if there's a lead gay role in a movie, a gay actor should have, you know, preference at least in terms of consideration for that role. I don't know anymore about, because not only have things changed a lot, but I think, I have seen so many examples of great performances by straight actors playing gay roles, and I don't necessarily think that that person should be, eliminated from consideration just because they happen to be. I mean, to me, if I'm being, even though I love to see gay actors in big roles and, more representation, I kind of think, sure, should it be a factor of consideration? Absolutely, in terms of when you cast the role. But the idea that someone's sexual orientation in private, or their race, or gender identity, or religion, or life experience, if somebody's good in the role, then they should get the role, as far as I'm concerned. But that's not to say that there aren't moments when I'll see, on Hulu or Amazon, when I'm watching TV, or on Netflix, when I see a movie, a gay-themed film or show, and then I look it up and I find out that that neither of the actors are gay. It'll make me get, sometimes I'll go like, why couldn't they find a gay actor? So it's a nuanced thing, but I absolutely think, I mean, there are times where, like what you just described in the musical or the play, it's like, that seems a little bit over the top.
The worst thing
Especially,
out the top.
you can't fault an actor for never having had cancer, or I mean, like, it's like, what? Like, but no, that kind of stuff happens a lot. There are people who sometimes make errant points where you just go, like, that's irrational, And unfortunately, I think we're seeing a lot of irrational things in people in the world today.
But it's at least there is representation. So, for, like when I was growing up, maybe on one out of every 100 shows, there'd be a gay character, and that'd be the screaming queen hairdresser. So, when I was growing up, I thought, okay, well, that means me equals that because that's the only thing that I saw. So, it doesn't really matter if it's a gay or straight person portraying that, at least there's still those portrayals.
I'm 32 now, I just turned 32. I think I literally on the very cusp of the last generation of people who remember a time. Maybe not remember, I'm sure there are people younger than me who remember, but people who really lived through a time where I still remember when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, I had to go on like YouTube and find like obscure independent gay films from the 80s or the 90s, or like I'd watch like bootleg versions of like English soap operas where they had like a gay character storyline on there. Like I remember it was right when I graduated college, or not graduated college, graduated high school, my first year of college. And I remember walking through the dormitory and seeing a TV on and seeing like these a group of like t teenagers sitting around the TV. And I was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's this new show called Glee. And that show totally maybe not single-handedly, but it played a huge role. I just remember right after that moment, 2009, 2010, the world changed completely. And gay representation on TV became like, it was basically everywhere. Every show, every movie. It became a different thing culturally. So I think you're right. I think now, it sure, again, should we try to be inclusive, and should we try to be, consider, having more diversity? Absolutely. But the idea that things haven't gotten better, and that, maybe we can just chill out a little bit on that kind of stuff. I think things are changing for the better, and we should absolutely acknowledge that and celebrate that.
So you referenced that you did those interviews on Instagram. Are you no longer doing those, or what are you currently doing? What's in your package of pies or fingers in the pies that you're actually doing on a day-to-day basis now and moving forward?
What happened was I sort of did the Instagram interviews as a way of showcasing not just myself, but obviously, the people I was interviewing and the issues I wanted to talk about. I have focused mainly recently because I did the interviews, and because of that, I sort of got this new role doing video commentary videos on politics for this big media website, political news media website called Mediaite here in the US. So I'm doing a lot of video commentary for them. I also have a Substack, which is an independent journalist platform here in the US. I think it's international, but it's a lot of journalists use in the US, where it's basically like a blog where they can write their own articles, and without having sort of needing permission from another outlet in order to publish their articles. So I've been writing a lot on there. I also still write for freelance for a lot of, different political and pop culture websites. But I think the focus right now is just sort of building my platform as much as I can. Just writing a lot, doing the video commentary for Mediaite, and we'll see what the future holds. I think I've realized. I'm still open to being in politics and running for office eventually one day. It's definitely still a possibility, but for now, and this sort of speaks to what you were saying earlier, like about the crossover between entertainment and politics. I think the people that have the most influence in terms of changing things and you is are not necessarily politicians. It's people in media and people and in entertainment. So for me, I'm not saying I'm likely to sort of go to the acting route, but I think certainly as a journalist or as a media commentator, I think I have a much bigger opportunity to build an audience and make a difference on that sort of level, at least in the near future. So I think that's sort of what I'm focused on, just focusing on my writing, my interviews, my video commentary, and building a platform as a commentator and writer, essentially.
So I'm diving into the entertainment space because your mom obviously is a for the listeners, Duke's mom is Belinda Carlisle. We haven't mentioned it. I was going to do an intro, but I generally ask this to my musical guests, but I'm going to ask this quick question to you because you've been on the periphery for most of your life. I know if I had to ask this question in 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years, I know your answer would be different every time simply because there are millions of them. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to five songs by any artist, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Oh, wow. Any artist. Wow. It's funny. I always say to people, because people ask me what my, whether I'm interested in music, whether I have any musical talent. I'm terrible. I have no musical talents. I'm a terrible singer. But I think you're right. Because I've been sort of exposed to it for my whole life, I think I mean, if I may say so myself,
That's it.
I think I actually have a pretty good ear when it comes to music. And, even though I don't necessarily have the exact same taste as my mother, I grew up listening to, all of her favorite music and listening to her music. But I mean, in terms of my favorite music, I have a very odd, eclectic mix of influences. I mean, I don't know about songs specifically, but in terms of artists, New Order is one of my favorite artists, which, like, even though my mom doesn't necessarily listen to them, I of course there's an 80s connection influence there. So New Order, I'd say, is my number one favorite group. I would say Troye Sivan's one of my favorite artists right now. Because I love pop. I do love dancey, independent type pop for sure. Let's see, who else? Kygo is a big dance DJ or EDM DJ here in the States. Let's see. This is a really weird one, but I really love, and my mom always likes to joke, I'm probably the only gay guy on earth who likes this kind of music. But on a totally different realm, I do love like 80s rock. Like, so I'm a huge Van Halen fan. And I've always, even though I haven't done it yet, I've always wanted to go to like a Van Halen show and like, I'm even, we're like probably a bunch of like 50 something year old, straight rockers, like banging their heads and stuff. But I've always wanted to go see them. Number five, Elton John. I mean, Elton John's amazing. And he's, even though I haven't seen him in person in quite a long time, we are friends. And I'm friends with his husband, David. And I interviewed David actually for my interview series a few years ago. So not only am I a huge fan of his music, but I'm a, fan of his personally. And he's always been very kind to me. So yeah, I would say they're very eclectic, but those are
Nice
some of my
mix.
random top five.
Nice mix. So, Duke, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, if you feel so inclined, feel free to follow me on Instagram. I'm at James Duke Mason, also on Substack. It's James Duke Mason.com, .substack.com. So I really appreciate the opportunity and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook @CelebSavant. That's CelebSavant.